Jeremy Stanton, Pasha's boy.
Okay. Morning, Rabosai. Including my friend Phil Haller, who was a chus to learn with for 20 years. Tells me it's his bar mitzvah haftorah, 78 years ago, Bleanora. Baruch Hashem. Haftorah of Bo is a haftorah every year. Connecting Egypt, Mitzrayim, with later history. We know about Mitzrayim in the Torah. We understand that they were a world power at the time the Torah was given. And over the years they went down. They're still around, they still make a noise, but they can't make the same noise they used to make.
It's not the same Egyptians.
It's the same country. Right? Right, Mitzrayim was from Chom. One of the Bnei Chom was Mitzrayim. That means that after the Mabul, the man called Mitzrayim lived in the place that we call Mitzrayim. Whether the descendants of Mitzrayim are the people there now, whether Nafsi Yimach Shemo was a descendant of him, probably not. Sancheiriv came from Aval Bel Kala Umas. Sancheiriv mixed everybody up. So it's very unlikely that the present-day Egyptians are the descendants of Mr. Mitzrayim all those years ago. But the country went down from being a world power to merely being a kingdom on its own in the time of Yirmiyahu HaNovi. That's the time when it lost its status of being a world empire and went back to being just an ordinary country as they are at the moment. If you think about it, at least Mitzrayim, Egypt is still known as a country. Rome, the great Rome, is a town. The nation, they're not called the nation of the Romans anymore. Rome is merely the capital city of Italy. That's all it is. So it's gone down even further. And Bavel, the great Babylon, as an empire lasted for 70 years. Once it was taken over by Persia, it wasn't anything anymore. Yes, the place is still there. Call it what you like. The name Iraq goes back a century, that's all. Time of the mandate. So as far as we're concerned, different countries have different names. But Egypt is the place of Mitzrayim. Where precisely it extends up to, we're told, it's called Gevul Chabad Sephardim. And yesterday, last week's Sidra, in Vo'era, we're told that the frogs were sent right up to the border of Mitzrayim. There was a border terror. There was a border dispute between Mitzrayim and the countries around, or Ethiopia, as to precisely where does Mitzrayim go up to. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent the frogs to go precisely to the border of Mitzrayim, and that was the end. So they could see exactly where the border was. The country next door didn't get any frogs. Right. So, to come to the time of Yirmiyahu HaNovi. Yirmiyahu HaNovi, as we know, Ani HaGever Ro, Ani, he was the one who prophesied about the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdosh, and he didn't only prophesy, he actually saw it happen. After the destruction of the Churban Bayis, Yirmiyahu HaNovi was quite prepared. He was alive and he was quite prepared to go to Babel, and somehow he got himself in the chains with all the other Jewish people who were going to be led off to Babel. Nebuzaradan, who was the, I think some say he was a, I think some say Nebuzaradan was Jewish originally, but Nebuzaradan was the captain of the Babylonian army, and he saw Yirmiyahu standing in chains. And he said, this is ridiculous. This is the man who said we're going to win. Why are we enslaving him? He's a hero. So he went and had him released from his chains. And he said to him, you can go where you like. We're not going to tell you where to go. That's up to you. You want to come with? You want to stay here? Totally up to you. But you're not going in chains. And Yirmiyahu HaNovi decided to stay in Eretz Yisrael. Who was left in Eretz Yisrael after the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed? The poorest of the poor. Because Nebuchadnezzar wanted the country looked after. So in other words, all the important people were taken, either killed or taken away to Babel. Whereas the poorest of the poor were left there. And Yirmiyahu was with them. The new capital of Eretz Yisrael after Yerushalayim was destroyed was Mitzpah. And in Mitzpah, what happened was that Gedaliah was set up as the governor of Eretz Yisrael, Gedaliah ben Achikom, set up by Nebuchadnezzar, and as we know, he lasted less than 2 months. From Tisha B'Av till Rosh Hashanah, Gedaliah was assassinated on Rosh Hashanah itself. We don't fast on Rosh Hashanah, we fast the day after Rosh Hashanah, Gimel Tishrei. And when that happened, the people in Eretz Yisrael were terrified that Nebuchadnezzar would come back, since the man he'd set up as the governor had been assassinated. They were afraid that Nebuchadnezzar would come back and teach the Yidden a lesson and wipe them out. Chas v'shalom, nobody left. So therefore, they said we wanted to go to Egypt. It's the opposite direction. We'll go away. We'll go down to Egypt and live there. And they asked Yirmiyahu HaNavi, and they asked him beautifully. They said, we know we didn't listen to you. All these years you've been giving us Musa, and we didn't listen to you. Please, tell us a message from Hashem. What should we do? Should we go to Mitzrayim or not? So Yirmiyahu said, I'll try, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives me an avuah, I'll try and tell you what to do. Anyway, so after a short time, Yirmiyahu HaNavi got a message from the Rabbeinu Shlolem telling the people to stay in Eretz Yisrael and not to be afraid. Don't worry about Nebuchadnezzar, don't worry about the Babylonians coming back. Stay here, you'll be all right. And that Yirmiyahu HaNavi went and told Klal Yisrael. Those who were left there, don't be worried. So, as you know, how do people react? Having been told, don't be worried, they packed their suitcases and got ready for the first train. That was the way they acted. They said, we don't believe you. When the Novi, you know, we sit here and think about how wonderful it would be if we had a real Novi. If we had Yirmiyahu HaNavi, well, we'd bow down at his feet, we'd listen to every word he says, we'd obey everything he says. This was Klal Yisrael in those days. And they actually had the real Yirmiyahu HaNavi. They weren't reading about him in a book. They actually had him talk to them. He actually was a real Navi. He had the voice from Hashem. And he told them, Hashem has given me a message for you. Stay here. Don't worry. Hashem will look after you. And what do? We don't believe a word you say. And they decided we're going to go.
That's why they asked him in the first place.
Human beings. Just think about real human beings. That's how we are, unfortunately. When Moshiach comes, we'll be a little bit better. So, what happened? They decided to go to Mitzrayim, and there is a machlokas among the Meforshim where Yirmiyahu HaNavi himself went. There's one opinion that says that he went off to Bovel, and he died there. There's another opinion, Shasheles HaKabbalah brings down, that what happened to Yirmiyahu HaNavi was that he himself went down to Mitzrayim with them to look after them, and there they actually got irritated with him because he'd been telling them all different things they liked. They actually killed Yirmiyahu HaNavi. They killed him and they buried him there in Mitzrayim. That is an opinion brought down, that Yirmiyahu HaNavi was actually killed by Klal Yisrael, right? Like other Nevi'im had also been killed. Right? Yes, we've had Zechariah ben Yehoyada. He was killed earlier on in the Beis HaMikdash. You know, to be a Navi, you didn't automatically wear a stempel saying that I'm a Navi from the Rabbeinu Shlolem, leave me alone, don't touch me. It doesn't work that way. A Navi didn't find it easy. Moshe Rabbeinu, Shmuel HaNavi didn't find it easy. The people asked him, yes, we want, tell us what Hashem wants, but make sure it's what we want as well. Anyway, so they went down to Mitzrayim. There's an opinion there that in Mitzrayim, after he died, the Egyptians knew about Yirmiyahu HaNavi, what a great man this Navi was. What a great man. And they'd had a plague of locusts, and he had either davened, and he'd saved the Egyptians in those days from the locusts. So they made Yirmiyahu into an Avodah Zorah. The Egyptians did, and they brought korbanos to him. That's the difference. Right? Us and them. Anyway, so let's get back to what's happening. Yirmiyahu HaNavi made two nevuos regarding Egypt. Two nevuos, two separate ones. Both in Perek Mem Vav of Yirmiyahu HaNavi, the 46th Perek there. The first one was earlier, was during the time the first Beis Hamikdash was still there, that he said that Paro is going to come out of his country and he's going to go and fight against Ashur, against Aram, and he's going to go through Eretz Yisrael. And that's what happened. He didn't win his battle, but he went through Eretz Yisrael. That was what Yoshiyahu HaNavi got killed over. Yoshiyahu HaNavi saw that Paro, called Paro Necho, he became lame. Paro... Pardon? Yoshiyahu HaMelech. Sorry? Yoshiyahu HaMelech. Yoshiyahu HaMelech was the king, a good king, big tzaddik, and he saw that Paro was bringing his army through Eretz Yisrael, and he said to Yirmiyahu HaNavi, what should I do? And Yirmiyahu HaNavi said, leave him alone. He's not going to challenge you in any way. He just wants to just right of way to go through Eretz Yisrael. That's all he wants to do, is go through Eretz Yisrael. Leave him alone, you'll be okay. And Yoshiyahu HaMelech said back to the Navi, it says in the Torah, V'cherev lo zava be'artachem, the sword will not pass through your land. So if the sword's not going to pass through, that means not even right of way. I don't have to let him. The Torah says he can't come. So Yoshiyahu HaMelech argued with Yirmiyahu HaNavi, and he went out, and Yoshiyahu HaMelech got killed at the age of 39. And then we, by Konin Yirmiyahu Yoshiyahu, one of the kinos we have on Tisha B'Av, it starts with Vayikonin, and Yirmiyahu mourned, lamented for Yoshiyahu HaMelech. And that's so what happened in the end of that battle. So Paro actually, having killed the Jewish king, went into the Beis HaMikdash, took things out of the Beis HaMikdash, Shlomo's throne he took, the beautiful throne, but he didn't know how to operate it properly, the mechanism of it, of the beautiful throne that Shlomo HaMelech had, and it kicked, literally, a part of it knocked him or kicked him, and he became lame, and he was known as Paro Necho, Paro the Lame. Anyway, so he went back, this Paro, alive, he'd won his battle, or they lost against the Ashur, but he came back through Eretz Yisrael, and he went back to his own country, to Mitzrayim, and that's where he stayed for some time. Right? And during the next few years, what happened was that Nebuchadnezzar came to Eretz Yisrael, and the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. There was a siege, and as we know, during the siege, they were surrounding us, we were besieged for a year and a half. Asora Bateves was actually not half a year before Tisha B'Av, it was 1.5 years. The siege lasted for 18 months. And during that time, we were literally... 1.5 years. 1.5 years. The 9th year of Tzidkiyahu into the 11th year of Tzidkiyahu. That's the time it lasted. There was one small amount of time during that siege that Egypt came against Paro. Against Nebuchadnezzar. That Egypt came, and because they're coming towards, Nebuchadnezzar had to leave Yerushalayim because he was scared that he'd have a battle against the Egyptians. So he went to in the direction of Egypt. And that way, Yerushalayim was given a small relief during that siege. And Yirmiyahu HaNavi went out. The Haftarah of Bahar is about that. He went to get a field that Yerusha, etc. The whole Maisa there in Perek Lamed Beis in Yirmiyahu took place when the Babylonians left Yerushalayim to go towards Egypt. When Egypt saw that the Babylonians were coming to them, then Egypt said, we don't want to fight with them now. So they went back. Nebuchadnezzar came back, and the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Now, the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, I think, in the 18th/19th year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign. 9 years later, in the 27th year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, this was already after, well after Gedaliah's time, and after the time the Jewish people had left Eretz Yisrael to go down to Mitzrayim. And literally they went to Mitzrayim, they stayed in Mitzrayim, and the community stayed there for quite some time. They were not destroyed, they lived there in Mitzrayim. but it was the only time in Jewish history, literally since Yehoshua, between Yehoshua and the present day, there were 52 years in which there wasn't a single Yid living in Eretz Yisrael. Literally, only then. There has never been a time before then or since then, from the time we conquered Eretz Yisrael under Yehoshua and to the present day, there have always been Yidden in Eretz Yisrael. The Ramban can come along to Yerushalayim and say he didn't find a minion in Yerushalayim in his own time. 1267 is when the Ramban came. He lived in Eretz Yisrael till he died in 1270. For 3 years, he said there wasn't a minion in Yerushalayim. But there were Yidden, there were always Yidden in Eretz Yisrael, except for those 52 years. Until people started coming back under Zerubbabel, from Bavel, there was a period where Judenrein, where Eretz Yisrael was nobody there. So, Haftarah tells us that there's a second Nevuah. The second Nevuah was that Nebuchadnezzar will go down to Egypt and attack Egypt, and will win the battle against the Egyptians. The Egyptians, as I said, went down from being a world power of those days to being an ordinary kingdom, and that's how they stayed from then ever after. They will never go back to being a world power. And Paro of his own time was a big Baal Gaivor. He boasted to everybody that he was going to win, that he wasn't afraid of Nebuchadnezzar. But what happened? Nebuchadnezzar came along. We'll see from the Pasuk that Paro himself, Heber Amoid, when the day of the battle came along, for some reason Paro made an excuse and didn't turn up. Right? He was scared. So the Pasukim say, Pasuk Yud Gimel, the first Pasuk of the Haftarah, is that this was the message that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Yirmiyahu HaNavi, that Nebuchadnezzar, by the way, you will find that in Tanakh, some places the Babylonian emperor is called Nebuchadnezzar, and some places Nebuchadrezzar. I have looked to try and find a simple explanation of why the Nun and the Resh are interchangeable. I have not got one. People say it's the same person. There is no doubt whatever that Nebuchadnezzar and Nebuchadrezzar are the same person. In some places it's with a Nun, and some places it's a Resh. In Yirmiyah, it's, I think, almost exclusively with a Resh. In Melochim, it's almost exclusively with a Nun. So, Nebuchadnezzar is going to come and destroy, or rather, Lachos, beat up the land of Egypt. So, Yirmiyah says, Hagidu v'mitzrayim v'shmir v'migdol. Give a publication, let everybody know this is going to happen. Yeah? Nof and Tachpanches are two places which are the capital cities of that time. And Nof is known as Memphis, not Memphis, Tennessee, but Memphis in Mitzrayim. One of the famous cities there. And Tachpanches was a city by the side of the Nile. So two cities there, and Yirmiyahu warns them. He says, go and prepare for war. Yatze v'hochein loch. Go and get yourselves ready. Ki ochlo cheres v'yivecho. Because the sword has eaten up, has consumed around you. It's getting closer to you. Get your army ready. In other words, he's not just warning them, he's terrifying them. This is, if you take the message seriously, if you were told that the sword of the army is, God forbid, outside Manchester, you wouldn't be sitting here to be enjoying a shir. This is literally, they were told that this is, the army is coming, and it's coming to destroy you. So then, Madua, next pasuk says, Madua nischak abirecho. Abirecho means your soldiers, your mighty men, and nischak, they've been swept away. You find in Bav Metzia the idea of field has been, the rain has come along and inundated the fields, and everything's been, literally everything was growing there. By the time the storm has passed, there's nothing there anymore. You just see things lying on the ground, but there's no growth taking place anymore. That's Nischaf Abirecho. According to the Zohar HaKadosh, the word Abirecho is the guardian angel of Egypt. And the guardian angel of Mitzrayim, you can't destroy a nation until in Shomayim the Malach has been destroyed first. And the Zohar HaKadosh says that Abirecho is a name for the guardian angel of Mitzrayim, and he's been taken away from any power he's got, so he cannot defend the Egyptians in Shomayim. So Lo Amadi can't stand up. Ki Hashem Atofo, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has pushed him down. Hirbo Koshel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has made stumbling blocks that they can't stand there and fight correctly. The people either have fallen, it is Ish El Rei Ehu, El rather than Al. So one pshat is that people are falling on top of each other. Literally, that's how scared they are. They get knocked, or they run, and they trip up over each other. But another one, Nofal Ish El Rei Ehu, is that they're getting together. They're scared to be on their own, and each one goes to the other one for support. They hold on to each other. Vayomru, and they say, Kumum noshu el amenu, let's go back to our own nation. The el eretz mulatenu, to the land of our birthplace. Who's that talking about? It's not the Egyptians. There are mercenaries who were employed by Egypt to help them fight against the Babylonians. And they pay them good money to come along. And these mercenaries were not interested in taking money to be buried with. I'd rather stay alive and go home alive than get paid well and not go home at all. So literally, that's what they said. We want to go back home. We're not going to stay here and fight with these Egyptians. It's a lost battle before we've started. So we've got to go back to Bnei Cherev Hayona. Because, an interesting phrase, Cherev Hayona, Hayona, the sword, Cherev is a sword, and Yona is a pressing, from the Loshon Ono'o. The idea of Losonish is Aramiso, an oppressing sword. That's one pshat. And another pshat is Yonah comes from the word Yayin. It's like wine. What does wine do to a person? It makes him drunk. And when a person is drunk, what goes on inside his mind? Ich bin a größer Mensch. I am the person in charge. I will tell you what to do. We're going to win this battle. And they saw that's the Cherev Yonah. The sword that gives that, is intoxicated, it's arrogant with its victories, and we don't want to have it having a victory against us. Korushon. Next pasuk says, they called out their Paro Melech Mitzrayim Sho'on. The word Sho'on is from the word noise. Paro, the king of Mitzrayim, has made a lot of noise. He talks a lot. He boasts a lot about what he's going to do, what he has done, what he's capable of doing, but at the end of it, he's not going to get anything done. So Hevir Hamoed, and that's the Loshon, where Paro had they planned a battle for a particular day, and what happened when the day came? Paro conveniently did not turn up. He found something else that needed to be done that was of more pressing importance than going to fight a battle on behalf of his country. Next part, it says, Chai Oni Na'um HaMelech. Chai Oni is, by the fact that I live, is a shavuah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, either as long as I live, or I swear by the fact that I live, Hashem Tzavokos Shema, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm Hashem Tzavokos. I'm in charge of everything. Paro isn't in charge. And I decide what's going to happen. Ki, next phrase has got interesting meanings. Ki kasavar behorim, like Mount Hartover. Mount Tover is in the mountains. Ucha Carmel bayom yovo, and like Mount Carmel, Har Carmel is by the sea. Nevertheless, Yovo, the king of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babel, he will come. It's as sure as the fact that the mountains don't move, the mountains are fixed, they've got their own program. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the mountains a program. There's a midrash that says that the two mountains, Tavor and Carmel, wanted, they asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, could we have Torah given on us? We'd like to be, we're important mountains, could we have Torah given on us? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, no, I'm sorry, I'm not going to have Torah on you. Torah's going to be given on Har Sinai, a little mountain in the Midbar. That's where the Torah's going to be given. But nevertheless, you'll have Nisim take place on you. Tavor we'll find next week with Devorah. The Har Tavor was involved. And Carmel with Eliyahu HaNavi. He was involved there. So in other words, those two mountains were important, but they weren't given what they wanted. So Tavor Behorim is in the same way that Tavor stays where it is, in the mountains, and Carmel stays by the sea. So Nebuchadnezzar will also not change. His plans are to come and conquer, and he'll come and conquer. That's it. Rav Nachman Chelbo says, he gives pshat here, even though Paro raises himself up like Tova and Carmel. He makes himself big. That's Paro. He boasts to everybody he's going to win against Nebuchadnezzar. But by Yom Yavoh, he'll fall into the sea himself. He will have no power whatsoever. His power will be destroyed. It's interesting that this phrase, if you look at the Ta'omim, look at the Naginas on the phrase, Ucha Carmel by Yom Yavoh, some of them learn it as the same as Carmel is by the sea. The only point is, grammatically, if you look at the words Ucha Carmel by Yom Yavoh, the Carmel has got a tipcha on it, and there's normally a comma with a tipcha. So the Rav Nachum Mechelba explains that. So Carmel, the Carmel is like, it's like Tovar is in the mountains, and like Carmel is in the mountains, and Paro thinks he's as great as they are. Nevertheless, by Yom Yavoh, he thinks he's a mountain, he'll end up at the bottom of the sea instead. Right. And the Radak says that, Radak B'Shem Oviv says that the Egyptians will be trapped like the beasts on Har Tovar, and they will also be led into Golos like rafts made from the wood of Carmel, which is floated along the sea. That's what will happen to the present day Egyptians of his own time. Right, Pasuk says, Klei Golas Iloch, make yourselves Kalim to take into Golos. The Egyptians will be captured and taken away by Nebuchadnezzar. Make yourselves Kalim. So take jugs and flasks, because you're going to be exiled. So you get, in other words, pack, get yourself a suitcase. You think you're going to stay at home, you won't stay at home anymore. You're going to be taken away. That's what will happen. And Noph, which was one of the capitals, L'shamosiyeh v'nitzasomein yoshev, the capital city will be left desolate without anybody in it. The same as Ayushalayim was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar, so the capital of the Egyptians will also be destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. Eglo yefeifio mitzroyim. Next pasuk says that Mitzrayim was a fair eglo. Eglo is a young calf, a heifer. So it was a beautiful place, it was a lovely town, beautiful kingdom. But Keretz Mitzophon, but there will be a Keretz, is a cutting off. A destruction will come from the north. The north is always Bovel. In those days, Bovel was in the, as far as Eretz Yisrael was concerned, Bovel was northeast. So they're coming from the north towards Eretz Yisrael, and that's got even further. Mitzrayim is down south. Mitzrayim is southwest of Eretz Yisrael. So therefore the destruction will come from the north and go straight in all the way through Eretz Yisrael into Mitzrayim. Bo, va, it certainly is coming. You think it's going to leave you alone. You think it's too far for Nebuchadnezzar to travel. Nebuchadnezzar has got plenty of time. He'll come and destroy you. Gam Sechireho v'kirbo bosachof aleph. Sechireho is her princes, her mercenaries. Sechireho, the ones from Sochor, the people that Mitzrayim has paid money to come and help us fight. Those Sechirim, they're here. They're v'kirbo, they're in her midst. Ke'eglei marbek, they're like fattened calves. Very nice, they're best soldiers, they're paid good money. And what's going to happen to these wonderful soldiers you've paid to help you? Gamhema Hifnu, they also turn around. And Nosu Yachtov Lomodu, they don't stay still, they run away. They flee from the battle, the great people that you've employed to come along and fight. This phrase, Egle Marbek, Rashi connects it to a Gemara in Bav Metzia, which describes it as a harness to which you attach the animals, three or four animals, and they thresh the grain by treading on the grain. So literally they work together. That's how Rashi learns it. They work together. But if you remove them, then they go on their own where they want to go. And the Radak says, Eglei Marbek are calves in a stall, where they're put there to fatten themselves. They're given plenty of food, and that's the idea. So what's going to happen to the mercenaries? The Radak says the mercenaries will sit there. When they're told to go and fight, they'll manage to stay out of the way. They won't do any fighting. They'll just sit down and eat and drink until the battle is over. Well, the Masechet David says on that, he says that the same way as you fatten a calf, why do you give it so much food to make it nice and fat so you can shecht it? You have a nice meal out of it. That's what's going to happen. So these people who were there, were paid to fight, they sat there eating and drinking, and the moment they saw Nebuchadnezzar approaching, they decided to run in the opposite direction, to go away. Pasuk Chof Beis. We said, the time where it's their calamity, they see they're going to be destroyed, and they don't want that to happen to them. The voice will go like a snake. So the Midrash talks about the snake which sheds its skin every year. And it puts itself between two trees, very close to each other, and it squeezes itself between the trees, and that strips off the old skin, and the new skin will then grow underneath. Literally, it pulls its own skin off by going between these two trees. Makes a terrible noise when that happens. And the same way the Targum Yonason says on that, that the sound made will be the sound of the weapons rattling. You know, as they come along with their metal swords and against the sheaths, everything rattling along, and you'll hear them coming. And that's what it'll sound like a snake. They'll march with an army. And they'll come with axes as if they're chopping wood down. That's the sound it's going to make. So what will happen? Korosu yaro nomashem. So the Apostle Chof Gimel says the word korosu. Korosu is either, it's a past tense, they have cut down the forest of Egypt. That's one pshat. Another one is korosu, it's an imperative, it's an order. Cut down the forest of Egypt. What's the forest of Egypt? The population of Egypt. The people there's so many Egyptians there, but like trees, they stand still and you destroy them one by one. That is what you will do and what you can do. The Novi is saying that will happen. Targum Yonason says it refers to the princes of Egypt. That's the forest, and you destroy the princes. And the number of soldiers in Nebuchadnezzar are literally uncountable. There was such a huge army that came along. Mitzrayim didn't know what they were expecting, how many people they're going to be. But the army was vast. And in Mitzrayim, literally, they had nothing they could do except either stand and fight or just simply give up. But there were no Geneva Convention about if we put our hands up and we surrender, he'll take us into captivity. These things didn't exist. They knew that when they saw the army, they were just going to get killed. There was nothing else they could do.
Was the whole army that they took away from Eretz-Israel, or were there other soldiers as well?
Eretz-Israel was 9 years earlier.
Oh,
this is 9 years after they destroyed the first Beis HaMikdash. This is gone back to Bovel. And then now they've come because Yirmiyahu said this is going to happen. Nebuchadnezzar had the time and said, I'm now going to destroy Egypt.
To whom was this Nebuchadnezzar given to? To the Yidden?
To the Yidden? It's possible that it was then passed on.
Time is going to get
yes. But it comes for us. So the beginning of the Nebuchadnezzar. Yeah, just Hashem told Yirmiyahu. He said, "Agidu b'Mitzrayim, tell it in Mitzrayim." So whoever wants to tell.
Why? I mean,
but it didn't say directly that Yirmiyahu himself was mechuyev to go and tell it there. It was a nevuah given to him. So and earlier on,
the nevuah was given to the gods in Mitzrayim.
It was given about the Mitzrayim. About them through our Novi. Yeah. So in other words, if he tells the Yidden will pass it on. We had a message from our God.
So
right? The Rebbe Hashem says it's going to happen. Yeah. Whether they want to listen is up to them. But it wasn't that he was called to stand in the street and tell them.
Normally the Nevuah is for Klal.
For Klal Yisrael, yes. But this is for Klal Yisrael. We should learn it now.
That Mitzrayim, we're going to get Mapola.
Yes, it. That's it. So it'll pass on. That way they'll get... How much difference did it make to the Mitzrayim to know about it?
Yeah, I'm saying it's basically news, that's all it is.
Yes, that's all. But having a novice saying anything.
Was there something to learn from? I mean,
yeah, but they did Mitzrayim want to learn from it?
No.
Right? But all the nevuahs we have in Tanakh are for us. There were we're told in the Gemara Megillah how many Nevi'im did they have? There are 1.2 million Nevi'im that Klal Yisrael had over a period of 1,000 years. And how many of them have got messages for us? Very, very few. There are only 48 mentioned for us. So the ones that are there for us to learn about today, something we can learn from today. The Pesukim carry on. So the Rabu Me Arba, they're more numerous than the locusts. You've got so many locusts escape, but the soldiers are more than that. Hovisha Bas Mitzrayim, Pasuk of Dalad, the Bas Mitzrayim, the daughter of Mitzrayim, they're ashamed. That the nation of Mitzrayim are ashamed. It's possible that Bas Mitzrayim And Loshen of Bas Mitzrayim, the daughter of Mitzrayim, is like a daughter has not been married before. So Mitzrayim has not been conquered in its own country. They've been secure in their own country for all the years. And now the enemy is going to come into their country and destroy them, conquer them where they are. B'li Ayin Hara, it's a long time since this country was conquered within the borders of the country. We go back to William the Conqueror. And since then, Baruch Hashem. But go to Europe, we're only in the time of the war. The Nazis took over the whole of Europe. So Bas Mitzrayim, Hovisha, they are embarrassed by the fact that an enemy has come into their country to take over their own country from within. Nithno b'yadam Tzofon, they're given into the hand of a northern kingdom. Right. Omar Shem Tzvokas, Apostle Chofei, Elokeisra, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Hinenifokeid el Omon Mina, I am going to visit a punishment onto Omon from No. Now, the interesting, this lovely word, Nun Aleph, No, is the Hebrew for Alexandria. That's the Mepharshim say that the city Nun Aleph, No, is the city of Alexandria. It was a major city in Egypt in those days. And Omon is the same as Homon. The people, the vast number of people living there, HaKadosh Baruch is going to punish them. Val Paro, Val Mitzrayim, and HaKadosh Baruch will punish Paro and the Egyptians. Eloheho, it's gods. Melocheo, it's kings, Paro, Valabotimbo, both Paro himself and all the people who trust in him that he's going to protect them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will punish them. And the Mepharshim say on that, the Mitzrayim is going to be punished as well for something that happened hundreds of years earlier. In the time of Rechavam, when Rechavam, after Rechavam took over, when the kingdom split, Yerovam in the north and Rechavam in the south, and after 3 years, the people of Rechavam started serving Avodah Zorah after 3 years, so Shishak, Melech Mitzrayim, came and conquered them, and literally plundered the Beis HaMikdosh, took the gold out of the Beis HaMikdosh. It was a punishment for us, but it didn't give the Egyptians the right to do it. It's very interesting, the idea, is that very nice. If one person does something wrong, somebody else is sent by Hashem to punish them. Yes, the person who's receiving the punishment deserves it, but it doesn't mean automatically the person giving the punishment has got the right to give it. So here, hundreds of years later, we find that Shishak, Melech Mitzrayim, who's long dead, but Mitzrayim will be punished as a nation for coming and conquering Eretz Yisrael. Tell me, were we any worse than they were? They also did have Avodah Zorah. So what right did they have to come and conquer us? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says they're going to be punished. So what will happen? Hashem says, I'll give them into the people who want them, into Nebuchadnezzar and his servants. And after that, Tishkon ki mekedem num Hashem. Interesting nevuah. That Mitzrayim, when Nebuchadnezzar has left, they'll settle down, they'll be inhabited again. So it's not that what we suffered with Eretz Yisrael was empty. Mitzrayim will not be empty. They will still live there, there'll be people there, and for all time, there will still be people there, but they will not be as important as they were in history. We learn about Paro in the Torah. Egypt was clearly the major world power of that time. And now, from then onwards, Yirmiyahu is telling them, you'll go back to being an ordinary country, you will not be a major power anymore. And the last two psukim of the Haftorah came earlier on in Perek Lamed. They also, the same psukim with slight variations, Atal Tira Abdi Yaakov, don't be afraid Yaakov, Baltech as Yisrael, if Mitzrayim, who are being punished now, are promised that they will still be in their country, they'll still have their country, Nebuchadnezzar won't last, Bovel won't last, Bovel had 70 years, Mitzrayim, Egypt is still known. They're not a world power, but they're still known as a nation. They're still known around the world. As I said, Rome is only a city. Egypt is a country. But so Klal Yisrael might think that if Egypt is being allowed its own country, what's going to happen to us? So Hashem says, don't worry. You will also, in the name Moshiach Meirochok, Hashem says, I will save you from afar, Bezarach omer Sivyom, and your children from the land which they've been captured, they'll be brought back. V'shov Yaakov, v'shokat v'sha'anan v'ein macharid. And Yaakov will come back to Eretz Yisrael, and they'll be at quiet, and they'll be at ease, and nobody will make them afraid. The Mephoroshim say that the four words there, v'shov Yaakov, v'shokat v'sha'anan v'ein macharid, refer to the Arba Golios, the Golos Bovel, will be ended, Golos Pras of Persia, Golos Yovon of Greece, and finally Golos Edom, which was still suffering from Golos Edom. All of them will be over. We'll come back to Eretz Yisrael Vein Machrid, and for all time from then onwards, nobody will ever bother us again. And the last pasuk, Al Tira Avdi Yaakov Nam Hashem, Ki Yitzcha Oni. Hashem says, I am with you. All the nations that I exiled you to, those nations, Hashem says, I'll destroy the lot of them. But you I won't destroy completely. Tremendous phrase there. Means that every bit of Musar I give you will be totally fair. There will be no sense of HaKadosh Baruch Hu letting a nation loose against Klal Yisrael, where the nation is told, Hashem says, Chas v'Shalom, look, I'm not going to look. I'll give you 5 minutes. I won't watch for 5 minutes. You can do what you like for 5 minutes. No. The pasuk says, Yizatich al HaMishpot. Every single thing that gets done against us is a Mishpot from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's going to be totally fair. The same way as Mishpot is fair, so what the Goyim do to us is also fair. And what will happen, but you won't be completely wiped out. Whatever happens, Klal Yisrael will come back from our Golos, will come back to our land, Vein Machrid, and nobody, when that happens, when we finally come back to Eretz Yisrael as the whole of Klal Yisrael together, for all time, we will be safe in our own land, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we will all keep Torah mitzvos, and the world will be, as the Shem, a wonderful place, Adol and Void.
It's mentioned in the Kalashani and your Alan Gillen.
Yeah.
Where?